Okay, let's unpack this really unusual deep dive.
Sure.
It's centered on that September 2025 aircraft crash near Area 51, Groom Lake, specifically.
Right. And what's interesting is that the sources we're looking at, they're less focused on the actual, classified drone that crashed.
And much more on this completely new kind of security threat that popped up right after.
Exactly. This whole incident basically flags two really critical new ideas for security analysts.
Okay, what are they?
Well, first, there's this concept they're calling performance intrusion.
Performance intrusion.
Yeah, basically illegally getting into sensitive places like government sites, but doing it just to like film it and make money off the risk online for an audience.
Huh. Okay, monetizing trespassing, essentially. What's the second idea?
A second is the evidence, and it's pretty strong that the way the Fez responded, it might have been a deliberate counterintelligence move, a kind of honeypot.
A honeypot. Okay, so initial facts, we know some kind of sensitive aircraft went down, probably a drone, right, from the 432nd Wing.
That's the one. Crashed about 12 miles east of the actual Area 51 perimeter.
And because it was kept so quiet, the thinking is it wasn't just a standard MQ-9 Reaper. Those crashes aren't usually this secret.
No, speculation leans towards something more like an RQ-170 Sentinel. Highly classified stuff.
Which brings us to the timeline. This seems crucial.
Oh, it's fascinating. There's the 6-day gap. See, the military secured the crash site, did the cleanup, all done by September 27th.
Right. Standard procedure so far.
But then nothing publicly happens until October 4th. That's when the Air Force announces that investigators, doing a follow-up look on October 3rd, found clear signs of tampering.
Tampering. After the military supposedly cleaned it up and left.
Exactly. And the stuff they found, it's weird.
What left it?
An inert training bomb body and an aircraft panel of unknown origin, stuff that likely wasn't from the original crash.
Okay, that screams setup. That's the honeypot theory right there, isn't it?
Pretty much. But wait, isn't that incredibly risky? I mean, intentionally leaving a crash site, even one they think is clean, seemingly unguarded, couldn't they lose actual sensitive debris?
It's definitely a calculated risk. But the consensus among analysts seems to be that if they swept it thoroughly first, the potential intelligence gain from catching intruders outweighs that risk.
So the public announcement, the FBI getting involved with OSI, Air Force Office of Special Investigations.
Right, OSI, that joint announcement, plus the weird planted debris, it looks like a classic setup. Bait.
Bait designed to lure in these digital treasure hunters.
Precisely. Identify them, maybe deter others.
So who took the bait? Well, the most public case seems to be this YouTuber, Anders Ottesen, runs a channel called Uncanny Expeditions.
Ah, okay. I think I've heard of that one. What did he do?
His video showed him finding some debris near the site. And importantly, he documented military surveillance while he was there, filmed a Black Hawk helicopter.
Could that have been one of the Area 51 ghost hawks? The stealthy ones?
It's possible, very possible. But the video also had this other strange detail. Sources are calling it a counterintelligence anomaly.
Anomaly, like what?
He runs into this Spanish-speaking guy on a motorcycle. The guy claims he's a total novice rider, just spontaneously decided to ride around the world heading for Argentina.
Okay, that sounds improbable.
Highly improbable. From an intelligence perspective, that kind of specific, unlikely story isn't random. It could be a plant.
Like the motorcyclist was part of the surveillance.
Could be. Or the story itself is a kind of narrative flag, something put out there by the surveillance team to see who repeats it later in, say, online videos. It helps verify who is actually there and maybe why.
Wow. Okay, that's complex. This leads us to the legal side. This performance intrusion isn't just trespassing, is it?
Oh, not at all. If you take anything from a site like that, any debris, you're looking at depredation of government property.
And that's serious.
That's a felony.
Yeah.
18 U.S.C. Section 1361. Up to 10 years in prison.
10 years.
And honestly, that might be the later charge. A prosecutor could argue for destruction of aircraft. That's 18 U.S.C. Section 32.
How long for that?
Up to 20 years. So, yeah. For YouTube views and maybe some ad money, you're risking decades in federal prison.
Which kind of shifts the focus to the platforms themselves, doesn't it? Like YouTube.
They're a huge part of the equation. These platforms, their algorithms, they often reward sensational, risky content. It creates a direct financial incentive for people to try this stuff.
Doesn't YouTube have rules against illegal acts? I know they have that EDSA exception.
Right, the educational, documentary, scientific, or artistic exception. But analysts argue it's often exploited here. When the crime itself, the trespass, the potential tampering, is the main point of the video, is it really educational or documentary?
Good point. So the solution is?
Taking away the money. Stronger demonetization policies, specifically targeting the monetization of criminal activities shown on video. That seems to be the consensus.
So wrapping this up, the big picture takeaway is that military counterintelligence is evolving fast.
Definitely. They're using deception, strategic leaks like that FBIOSI announcement. It's aimed squarely at this social media generation.
And the main worry isn't just the one person they catch, but the risk of copycats.
That's the biggest indirect threat. People seeing this, thinking they can get famous or rich by doing the same thing.
Okay, one last thought then. The source material mentions there's an older crash site nearby, right? An F4 Phantom from 82.
Yeah, that's a known site. People hike out there sometimes.
So here's something for you, the listener, to consider. Could these known, accessible historical crash sites be serving a purpose? Like, maybe they act as a kind of curiosity sink.
You mean channeling public interest and maybe even these intrusion attempts towards the old harmless stuff?
Staying away from the real active classified locations. Is the existence of the old site part of a larger, more subtle misdirection? Something to think about.